Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to IndiGo's first quarter fiscal 2017 financial results conference call. My name is Zed and I will be your coordinator. At this time, the participants are in a listen-only mode. A question and answer session will follow today's management discussion. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the call over to your moderator, Mr. Ankur Goel, Director of Investor Relations for IndiGo. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the first quarter fiscal 2017 earnings conference call. I have with me our President and Hotel Director, Aditya Ghosh, our Chief Financial Officer, Rohit Philip, our Chief Commercial Officer, Sanjay Kumar, our Chief Aircraft Acquisition and Financing Officer, Riyazpeen Mohammed, and our Vice President, Finance, Vineet Mittal. Before we begin, please note that today's discussion may contain some statements on our business or financials which may be construed as forward-looking. Our actual results may be materially different from these forward-looking statements. A transcript of today's call will also be archived on our website. The information provided on this call is as of today's date, and we undertake no obligation to update the information subsequently. And with this, let me hand over to our President and Hotel Director, Aditya Ghosh.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call. We declared our first quarter financial results today, and we've reported yet another profitable quarter. For the quarter ended June 2016, our pre-tax profitability was 7.5 billion rupees, and profit after tax was 5.9 billion rupees. In comparison, our profit after tax for the same period last year was 6.4 billion rupees. These numbers are as per the newly adopted Ind AS standard, which Rohit will talk about in more detail. We've been primarily impacted by lower average fares, which has affected our profitability. Our average fares dropped from 4,524 rupees in June quarter last year to 4,032 rupees in the June quarter of this year, a decline of 10.9%, primarily on account of increased competitiveness in the industry. However, this drop in average fares does not change the view we have on the potential and growth of the Indian aviation market, and we are committed to adding profitable capacity in the marketplace. Our last quarter ended with the induction of one A320neo and one used A320 Classic, making it a total of 109 aircraft, including four Neos. We have much more data on Neo performance now, and based on this data, we are seeing a 14.3% fuel savings compared to our A320 Classic aircraft without chocolates. However, operationally, the A320neos continue to be a challenge. In fact, we are currently looking at scenarios where we would slow down the deliveries of the A320neo aircraft to allow Pratt & Whitney to catch up with the production of the upgraded engines. Pratt & Whitney and Airbus remain focused on fixing various technical issues that have been identified, and we're really counting on them to stay focused and resolve all the technical issues at their highest priority. Assuming we receive all the scheduled A320neos during fiscal year 2017, we expect to be operating 24 neos by March 31st, 2017, which would represent about 18% of our total fleet. For the three-month period, April to June 2016, our average technical dispatch reliability was 99.92% compared to 99.96% same period last year. Our average on-time performance has improved to 85% from 80.6% same period last year. And our average flight cancellation rate was 0.12% compared to 0.05% same period last year. During the last fiscal year, we witnessed increased employee costs primarily on account of excess bench strength of our operational staff because of the delay in capacity addition. With our delivery starting to get back on track, this excess bench strength is now getting exhausted in the system. We have already seen our employee per aircraft count reduced from 121 per aircraft as at December 2015 end to 112 per aircraft as at June end. As we were short of our expected capacity last year, we also looked at creative ways to meet this shortfall, such as through increase in our aircraft utilization, which was 13.24 hours per day per aircraft in June quarter this year. Low fuel cost environment was also an enabling factor in this increased utilization, and we continue to monitor the economics to make sure it continues to make sense to operate our fleet at this level of utilization. Now coming to our network, we have not added any new destination this quarter. We've used the capacity addition to strengthen our network by increasing frequencies on existing routes and also to start new routes between existing destinations. In the quarter ended June 2016, we have started new non-stop services between Kochi and Muscat, Hyderabad and Nagpur, Hyderabad and Coimbatore, Chennai and Jaipur, Chennai and Guwahati, Bangalore and Vadodara, Goa and Vadodara, and finally Indore and Goa. Pursuant to ESOPs, the company has allotted 8.5 lakhs equity shares. As a result, the issued and paid up share capital of the company stands increased by 8.5 million rupees to 3.6 billion rupees. The board of directors had recommended a final dividend of 15 rupees per share last quarter, which is subject to the approval of shareholders during our annual general meeting, which will be held on the 21st of September. The dividend will be paid out to our shareholders as of the record date of 14th September. We continue to engage in several initiatives under our corporate social responsibility program called Indigo Reach, focused on the themes of children and education, women empowerment, and environment. Under our initiatives focused on children's education, 13,600 children have enrolled so far across locations such as Tripura, West Bengal, Bihar, and Jharkhand. With the help of the Bandhan Foundation, we are working on creating sustainable livelihood of 600 women-headed households in the slums of West Bengal by helping establish small-scale enterprises. We are also working on commissioning 7,500 biogas plants in Andhra Pradesh, of which we have already commissioned 2,500 units. With that, let me hand over the call to Rohit Philip for an overview of our financials. Rohit has joined us as our Chief Financial Officer just 2 weeks ago on the 18th of July. Rohit has enormous and varied experience and understanding of the airline industry, and we are delighted to have Rohit as part of the Indigo family. Rohit.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Aditya, for the warm welcome. It's a great pleasure to be part of an airline that's at such an exciting stage of its life cycle. As was mentioned on the last call, we have adopted the new Indian Accounting Standard, or Ind AS, from the June quarter this year. You will notice that the historical period comparatives have also been revised in accordance with Ind AS. All numbers going forward will be reported in this newly adopted format. For the quarter ended June 2016, we reported a profit after tax of 5.9 billion rupees, which was a decline of 7.4% over the same period last year, and a pre-tax profit of 7.5 billion rupees, a decline of 19.1% over the same period last year. We reported an EBITDA of 15.5 billion rupees with an EBITDA margin of 33.9% for the quarter ended June 2016, compared to an EBITDA of 15.8 billion rupees with an EBITDA margin of 37.4% for the same period last year. We delivered earnings per share of 16.42 rupees in this quarter. We added 2 aircraft in the quarter, including 1 NEO. Our total capacity for the first quarter was 12.7 billion ASKs, which is an increase of 25.1% over the same quarter last year. Indigo's total passengers increased to 9.9 million in the June quarter, which is an increase of 20% over the same quarter last year. Our total revenue from operations for the quarter was 45.8 billion rupees, an increase of 8.7% year over year. Our passenger revenue was 39.7 billion rupees, a growth of 6.9% versus the quarter last year. And ancillary revenue was 5.8 billion rupees, a growth of 20.8% over the quarter last year. Our revenue per available seat kilometer, or RASK, for the quarter ended June 2016 was 3.62 rupees, down 12.7% from 4.15 rupees compared to the same period last year. Our average fares reduced from 4,500 524 rupees in the June quarter last year to 4,032 rupees in the June quarter this year, which is a decline of 10.9%, primarily due to increased competitiveness in the industry. Our load factor for the quarter was 83.3%, down 4.6 points from the same quarter last year. While our yields and load factors were impacted by market dynamics, we focused on keeping our costs low. Our first quarter cost per available seat kilometer, or CASK, of 3.04 rupees was 6.3% lower than the same quarter last year. Our CASK excluding fuel in this quarter was 1.96 rupees, which was an increase of 2.4% compared to the same period last year. This was despite a 6.1% depreciation in the Indian rupee against the US dollar in the quarter compared to the same quarter last year. Our employee benefit costs increased by 24.8% in the June quarter this year compared to the same period last year. Excluding ESOP-related costs, our employee benefit costs per available seat kilometer reduced by 4.5%. As Aditya mentioned, the additional staff that we hired in anticipation of our growth has started to be absorbed by our operations. We expect further cost efficiencies to come in as we add more planes this year. We reduced our debt by 4.6 billion rupees in the June quarter. We ended the quarter with a total debt of 27.8 billion rupees, all of which is related to aircraft. We do not have any working capital debt. As mentioned in the previous quarter, we used some of our IPO proceeds to retire the debt associated with three additional aircraft, totaling 4.9 billion rupees during April this year. We have now used the majority of IPO proceeds, and the remaining 169 million rupees will be used for the purpose of purchasing ground support equipment. Our total cash as of June 30, 2016, was 61.97 billion rupees, out of which 22.16 billion rupees was free cash and 39.8 billion rupees was restricted cash. Our total cash includes the proposed final dividend of 6.5 billion rupees. At the end of June 30, 2016, our total cash as a percentage of the last 12 months' revenue was 37.8%. With this, let me hand the call back to Ankur.
Thank you, Aditya and Rohit. To answer as many questions as possible, I would like to request that each participant limit themselves to one question and one brief follow-up question if needed. And with that, we are ready for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handset while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Michael P. from Citi. Please proceed.
Hey, good evening, guys. Thanks for taking my call. With respect to the capacity language in the release and earlier on the call, you've stated that you have 24 NEOs set to be delivered this year if everything goes as planned. It doesn't seem like you think you can absorb that kind of capacity. What's a fair number? In other words, if we were to rejig our capacity growth guidance for the year, where do you think it shakes out? I mean, can you take basically 3 to 4 aircraft per quarter for the rest of the year? Or, you know, is that still overly ambitious?
Thanks, Michael. So, Michael, we see a long-term opportunity in India. And if the planes continue to get delivered and if they operate, we will certainly take that capacity. The slowing down has not to do with the capacity addition. It is to do with the operational challenges that we are having with the A320. There are some short-term imbalances in demand and capacity. However, with the growth in the Indian market, it will naturally correct itself.
Okay. I mean, you took delivery of 2 aircraft, and yet you were still able to grow your traffic by 18% year over year. So clearly, you're still optimizing the network, and you're you're able to sweat the assets. Is that the case?
That is correct.
Okay, and then just secondly, your ancillary was far better than we were kind of projecting, up 21%. What is that a reflection of? Is it low base? Is it you starting to really implement new initiatives? What's driving that?
So, you know, as we've discussed in the past, globally the level of ancillary revenues is much higher as compared to India, and we've always said we have huge opportunities of providing value-added services that people would be willing to pay for. Now, as the Indian regulatory environment changes, we will continue to keep looking at it. So, so just a reflection of our continuous initiatives at increasing ancillary revenues.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rupin Shah from ICICI Securities. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. This is Rupin Shah from NDV Securities. Sir, if I compare this June quarter with the same quarter last year, we are losing our bargaining power gradually. So last year, even like the fuel price was high. So just wanted to understand, where are we heading in terms of the pricing power?
So, Rupin, look, yields are down this quarter because of, you know, the kind of fares that we are seeing in the marketplace. The thing is that we are continuing to add capacity where we can add capacity profitably. And we still see a great opportunity over here. It's just a reflection of that.
Okay, but sir, if I compare your RASK and your CASK, the same quarter last year, we are continuously losing our bargaining power in terms of passing on the cost, and our the OPEX operating profit per CASK is continuously declining. So, where are we heading? So, if you can give some hint on that, so we can actually forecast in that terms.
So we are not going to give any guidance, in terms of future yields or earnings.
Okay, fair enough, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashutosh Samani from JM Financial. Please proceed.
Thanks for taking my question. The question was very simple. Actually, I wanted a reconciliation of the cash balance stated in the press release versus what has been reported in the balance sheet. So let's say for FY16, the cash balance as reported in balance sheet is ₹37.2 billion, okay, as per your fourth quarter press release. While if I look at the detailed press release, it mentions the total cash at ₹60.5 billion, which is the sum of restricted and free cash. So, you know, which are the other line items other than the reported balance sheet cash, which are included in the total cash of ₹60.5 billion? Also, out of the ₹37.2 billion reported cash, how much is free cash? Because if you look at the past also, in FY11, 13, 14, the free cash is much more than the cash balance reported in the balance sheet. So if you could just throw some light on this reconciliation, it will be great.
Yeah, this is Vineet Mittal.
Yeah.
So as far as free cash and restricted cash in balance sheet is concerned, so there are three components in our balance sheet. The first component is fixed deposit, which has been reflected in our financial statement under different caption item, depending upon the age of maturity of fixed deposit.
Okay.
Second is mutual fund, which is typically shown as investment. And third is free cash. So these are the three components in our balance sheet put together constitute total cash and cash equivalent for Indigo.
Okay. So Vineet, let me rephrase the question in a different way. So, you know, fourth quarter we had reported the total cash of $60.5 billion. Okay, first quarter end, we are reporting the number at $61.9 billion or $62 billion. FY16 end, the cash and equivalents in balance sheet stood at $37.2 billion versus the $60.5 billion that you reported in the press release. So today you have reported in the press release at $61.9 billion. So what will be the corresponding number in the balance sheet in cash and equivalents, which was $37.2 billion in the fourth quarter of FY16? Where has this number moved from 37.22?
So as I said earlier, for a financial year ended 2016, from a balance sheet, you need to add fixed deposit plus investment plus cash and bank balances to arrive at the number we have published in our earning calls.
Thank you, Vinit. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please proceed.
Hi team. Thanks for the opportunity. I joined the call a little late, so I'll just reconfirm these numbers with you. In the last call, you guided for almost 34% growth in ASKM. You are saying around 25% growth in ASKM in Q2, which is roughly implying 40% growth in second half of this financial year. So in light of such strong capacity growth, A, are you maintaining that 34% capacity growth guidance? And B, how do you see yields playing out, you know, when this kind of capacity will get added to the system?
So, Binay, I'm not going to give you any guidance. We are not going to give any guidance on future earnings. But as far as capacity addition is concerned, assuming we get all the NEOs that we have on as per the scheduled delivery month, we will stick to the guidance that we have given before on capacity.
But any sense that you see, do you think like you will be able to absorb, the industry will be able to absorb this kind of capacity?
So, yes.
Okay. And secondly, what is your tax rate that you would look at for the full year?
So this is Rohit Philip. I think you may have noticed that for the quarter, our effective tax rate was a little lower. That was primarily because we wrote back some certain tax credits that we had written off in prior periods. So you would expect a more normalized tax rate of 28% to 30%.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Makaria from JP Morgan. Please proceed.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Yeah. Makaria, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Okay. Sure. Hi. Yeah, you mentioned about, you know, competitive pressures which impacted yield. So, any airline in particular which is offering discounts has changed its strategy as compared to the past, because, you know, last year there was a lot of discipline in the market.
So I think you'll see kind of low fares from almost everybody in the marketplace. So wouldn't point out any one particular competitor.
Okay. And do you expect this? Are you seeing this trend sustain? This is a lean season, but do you expect it to sustain even, you know, once the holidays kick in around Diwali?
The yields continue to be under pressure, but beyond this, I'm not going to give any guidance.
Okay, fair point. And just in terms of the Ind AS accounting, so what are the major changes? Is there any change around the way we recognize our lease expense and income?
So there are, so obviously we have adopted Ind AS from April 1, 2016, and going forward we're sort of reporting all our results in the S and restating prior periods. So we're not sort of restating our results going forward under the old Indian GAAP. But for the prior period, we have provided reconciliation in our notes, which provide all the details between the two. Yes, there is a difference in lease accounting, as you know, but that reconciliation is provided in our notes.
Okay, thanks. Maybe I could just take that offline.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from UBS Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Good evening, everyone. Continuing on the same line, could you just highlight what are the operational issues you're facing on the NEOs? And secondly, in particular, I know this question's been asked and you continue to believe in the long-term growth in India, but I mean, if you look at June, we did see a very sharp plunge in your load factors, even on a year-on-year and month-on-month basis. So was there anything specific to June? And because your drop was much higher than the rest of the industry. And so if you could just highlight, how you're looking at these things.
So taking the question on the NEOs first, you know, the A320 NEO operations continue to be a challenge, you know, from an operational point of view. And there have been some issues around startup time and other erroneous software messages, as a result of which we're struggling with maintaining our scheduled integrity and our technical dispatch reliability at the same levels as the CEOs. So as I said, we're looking at slowing down deliveries. No decision made as yet to allow Pratt & Whitney to kind of catch up with the production and delivery of the upgraded engines. But contrary to some of the early press statements that I saw a short while back, we have not made any decision on it just as yet. Now, coming to the load factor question, see, our load factors for the quarter were down 4.6 points compared to the same period last year. This is largely driven by 8.7 points decrease in load factor in the month of June itself, which you pointed out. Now, this was because in the month of June, we not only increased our aircraft utilization from 13.66 hours to 13.8, from 11.89 hours in the June of last year, but we also introduced a lot of new flights, 39 new flights. Now, also in the past, we have sort of let some certain low fares from some of our competition go unmatched, and we'll probably rethink some of that.
Right. And sorry,
Mr. Sonal Gupta, can we request you to return to the queue for a follow-up question?
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Bothra from Motilal.
Although, I mean, if Sonal wants to just finish off the question, I'm happy to take it.
Okay, sir.
Yeah, no, just on the, again, coming back to the NEOs thing, operationally, I mean, what sort of time frame do you think for Pratt & Whitney to resolve these issues?
So look, Pratt & Whitney and Airbus both are trying very hard to fix the issues. As you know, they're giving us a lot of on-site support as well. So right now, we just want them to focus on that and continue to try and meet those timelines that they have given before, which was, I think, by the end of this year.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Bothra from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi Aditya, this is Pulkit here. Just a couple of questions. One is, the industry is really at around 83% kind of PLF. So we are surprised that there should be a yield decline when the industry itself is operating at such high level of PLFs. So what is really happening out there? I mean, you obviously are the industry leaders, and I would think that you would have some kind of say in the pricing discipline in the industry, but is it possible that some small player can just come and disrupt the entire pricing?
So, Pulkit, you can see that there is actually yield decline. So as you expected, it is actually happening, that there is a yield decline, and that is because almost everyone is throwing extremely low and competitive fares in the marketplace. Now, in the past, we have not matched some of these fares, and because of which we took a hit on our load factors. But as I just told Sonal, we might be rethinking that strategy now.
Well, why would anyone need to, lower fares in an environment where PLFs are already that high, is what I'm trying to understand.
Good question, Pulkit. I guess this is a question that some of our competitors can answer. It is the reality that we are seeing in the marketplace.
Secondly, on the cost front, we are kind of surprised that the operating costs have been growing at a much higher rate. While I understand that the employee costs, you have a reason for the same, but at least on the other expenses, in a 35% YOY increase, and more importantly, even on a Q1Q basis, we have seen a 13% increase. So, what should we expect? What is the reason for that? Therefore, should there be a decline going ahead or continuing at this pace of increase?
So, this is Rohit Philip. I think in this quarter, you've seen the 36% increase in other expenses, while capacity only grew 25%, there's some of that is partially explained by the depreciation in the Indian rupee. We have a certain amount of foreign currency expenses. The quarter over quarter depreciation of the rupee was 6.1%. So there's some impact with respect to that. There's some impact of some costs that we think are one-time costs that hit this quarter. So on an ongoing basis, we do not expect this line item to to be anything out of line with capacity growth. In fact, there should be some economies of scale as we grow.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Krishnan from Kotak Infina. Please proceed.
Hi, guys. Wish you all a very good evening. My question was with respect to the interest cost. As I can actually see, your debt has actually gone down on the financial lease side. But despite that, there has actually been an increase on the finance cost for the quarter. Can you just explain the same, sir?
Absolutely. This is Rohit again. So this is related to, you're absolutely right. Normally you should have expected to see our interest expense go down because we reduced debt in the quarter. There is a one-time impact of a write-off of a ECA premium that was related to the aircraft that we prepaid. So there was a ECA premium that was on our books that was being amortized along with the life of the lease. When we terminated the lease early, even though the transaction is financially a good transaction for us, we took a one-time hit of 440 million rupees for the early termination, which was a non-cash expense. So that pretty much explains that excluding that, you would have seen a reduction in interest expense.
So what would be the average interest cost going forward for you?
I think you should just look at that line item and remove $440 million, which is the one-time impact.
All right.
$440 million. Sorry, not dollars.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Santosh Hiredesai from Edelweiss. Please proceed.
So thanks for the opportunity. Sorry to go back to the yield part, but I'm not looking for a guidance, but what I'm trying to understand is that when I look at some of your LCC peers, right, so the yields for them have been kind of pretty much holding on, and they've been able to fill up the seats much better, right, clocking better PLS. So I'm just trying to understand directionally, as in, is it because that we've been introducing on the same routes that we're existing, where we connect, because of which there is some cannibalization at play out here, or what exactly is happening and which is not being reflected in some other peers is what I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah, so Santosh, I think it's a combination of both things. One is some of the new flights that we're introducing, which takes a little time to catch up with the network-wide average load factor and pricing. And the other, as I said, we have also not matched a lot of the fares in the past.
Right. So which is what I was trying to understand. If we've been very cautious in terms of not really kind of changing those fares, that should have reflected that in terms of the yields holding up. I understand that, because of which our PLFs are down, but we have both the things going together, which is what is a little confusing and misleading. So I'm not very sure what is it that I'm missing.
Yeah, as I said, because we did not match some of the fares, our load factors went down. Mm-hmm. And that creates a drag on the yield, combined with the fact that in any case, the fares are much below in the marketplace than they were a year ago.
Fair enough, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshad Barauke from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please proceed.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So in the 4Q last year, you were quite forthcoming in terms of giving revenue/EBITDA guidance. So now just wanted to check, what had changed. It's more about, the pricing pressure, which had changed, which makes difficult to, make things more predictable. So that was one. And second question was, in the, I think, opening calls, you mentioned that Indigo 24 planes will account to around 18% of your fleet by year end. So does this mean your fleet guidance by March 70 is 133? Thank you.
So Harshad, the last time when we gave that guidance was in the light of the background that there was a lot of delays in the NEOs. So we had to give you some more information to the market because the NEOs that we had originally planned were getting delayed by a few months. So that was but otherwise we do not like to give guidance on earnings. As far as the capacity is concerned, yes, we are looking at that same figure that we had given in the past, of course, assuming that we get these 24 NEOs that we had, that we talked about.
Okay. And lastly, do you have any thoughts on, you know, this airport saturation situation? So in the Mumbai, we understand it's already saturated. Do you think it will impact, you know, the overall industry growth from the medium-term perspective?
So, you know, Mumbai, of course, is certainly a slot-constrained airport. But like any good partner, we continue to engage with the relevant authorities to look at opportunities to get slots there. And the larger market, while we see market continue to grow, there are always certain airports which might be a little bit operationally constrained. For example, Ahmedabad airport runway closure, because of which it is inaccessible for large parts of the day. But however, we continue to optimize the network to make sure that capacity is profitably deployed.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parita Asher from Ambit. Please proceed.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for the opportunity. Just a quick question on the A320 NEO deliveries. So as of beginning of August, where are we in terms of actual deliveries versus what was the, planned as per the delivery schedule?
As of the beginning of August, it's on schedule.
It's as per schedule, is it? So basically, the 24 minus, I think we've received 5, right? So 19 is what is ideally planned for the rest of the 7 months.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anshuman Deb from ICICI Securities. Please proceed.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. I had a question regarding the fare distribution per se. The weakening yields that we are seeing, is it like across the markets or maybe different in tier 1 or tier 2 cities?
It is kind of across the market.
Pardon?
It is across the market.
So basically, why I ask this reason is because considering the conditions that we have in Mumbai or, as you said, about Ahmedabad, doesn't it get higher fares, or what is your sense that it may get converted into some higher fares going ahead?
The reality is that, you know, most airlines are offering low fares across the routes and across times of day. That is the reality.
Okay. And just one follow-up question regarding this average fare in Q2 FY16. Could we have that number?
You mean for Q2 FY17?
No, Q2 FY16. Q2 FY16 average fare.
Okay. Q2, I don't have that average fare just now.
Okay, sure. Maybe we can get offline.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Garg from BNP Paribas. Please proceed. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Garg from BNP Paribas. Please proceed.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. I wanted to check on this A320 NEOs. You had mentioned that there will be approximately 15% fuel efficiency. So are you realizing that actually, or is it like more or less what's the status like?
More or less.
I mean, 15% or 10, 20?
Oh, it's 14.3%. Is what we are realizing so far.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayur Malik from Anand Rathi. Please proceed.
I just wanted to understand, since the news, typically the lease rental of these would be like, 10% or 15% higher than your original aircrafts?
Oh, hi, this is Riyaz Pinwam. The new rentals are approximately, you know, 15% higher than the COs in the current market. The COs are, you know, lower than the NEOs because of the benefits that the fuel benefits that the NEOs gives in the current market conditions. But of course, we do sale and lease packs on these NEOs and are having the attractive pricing that our purchase agreements give us.
So I'm sure wouldn't be an appropriate question, but just trying to take it off. So at this point in time, does it suggest that if there is a delay in getting the NEOs, it actually benefits you?
No, I mean, if it was just lease rentals, no. But, you know, there is also the fuel burn advantage, so no.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Michael B. from Citigroup. Please proceed.
I just wanted to clarify, you talked about a one-time item of around $440 that was in the interest expense line. Is there any other one-time items that were material enough to have skewed that bottom line figure or even the EBITDAR figure? Or would you regard the everything except that 440 to be generally core earnings?
Yeah, in addition to the 440 in the interest expense, there was an amount of about 210 million rupees in the employee expense line, which was related to ESOP expense. So other than that, there were a couple of additional items that are not something that will go into detail. As I said, I think the overall line item we expect to grow more in line with capacity growth in future quarters.
Those ESOPs are really a function of just the IPO and just building those in the first year, right?
At some stage,
they'll just become current. Yeah.
Yes,
so,
that is correct.
So it's really just the 440 is really the only one-time adjustment we should make.
As a one-time, that's correct. So the ESOP is more of a comparison versus last year versus, and you would expect to be in the future.
Okay, and then just lastly, clearly the year-ago numbers were highly skewed by SpiceJet, and you had some short-term benefits associated with market share, and your yields held up probably better than they should have. That kind of starts to reverse in September, December. Are you already starting to kind of see that into this calendar third quarter?
Michael, I wouldn't want to talk to the next quarter or the current quarter.
No, but I mean, just on a comp basis, last September was a bit of a surprise, I think, to many, because basically the gains that you had enjoyed from SpiceJet kind of went away last September, and so you have a lower hurdle, if you will, this September.
That's probably true.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Makharia from JP Morgan. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Just a quick question. In the quarter gone by, we did see that crude prices went up. So has that in any way impacted the EBITDA margins? And as a follow-up, are you seeing that as crude is coming off, so obviously, there was a cut today of 4%. It may be a little early in the day, but do you think these benefits will be, passed on by the airlines, or do you like kind of see the airlines holding on to the gains?
We would not be able to comment on what some of the other airlines will do, and we'll be guided by what's happening in the marketplace.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shivam Gupta from PwC Advisors. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to understand a little bit more on this employee cost. So if we look at it, there has been a kind of a ramp. If you look at a quarter-on-quarter number, so as a percentage of sales, it has gone from like 8% or to 12, and this quarter it was 10.5. Now, you have already mentioned that going forward, if the deliveries stay on track, then this number will get absorbed. So over the next 2 to 3 years, would that be a reasonable glide path for this number to go back to that 8% which historically was reported?
I don't think we can sort of give you the specific guidance, but directionally, I think that line of reasoning would hold.
Okay. And the other related aspect I want to understand was that in terms of constraint in terms of the availability of crew for the NEO in the market, is that still there, or you think that is no longer an issue to ramp up?
Availability of crew? I mean, as in pilots?
The pilots, yeah.
No, actually, the conversion for a classic pilot to a NEO pilot is only a 4 hours of ground training module, and we are in the process of training all our pilots on to fly the NEO.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sri Shankar from Prabhudas Lilladhar. Please proceed.
Good evening, gentlemen. I've got a couple of questions.
You earlier mentioned about the employee cost utilization. Probably you had more number of people on the rolls getting ready for the new aircrafts which are coming in. And will it be repeating? Because you've got 24 aircrafts planned to come in the year. Already only 5 have come in. So does it mean that you will have keep having for the rest of the year the increased number of employee cost probably not getting utilized fully?
Actually, we are beginning to see an absorption of that excess employee cost. As I mentioned, that it has gone down from 121 employees per aircraft to 112 employees per aircraft currently, and we are beginning to see the absorption, of course, assuming that the capacity keeps coming in.
Okay. The next question is on the demand growth, past growth which you have been seeing. So one of the problems probably this quarter has been your lower yields as competition has picked up. But we are still in an environment where the demand growth has been robust. You think that going forward, this scenario may continue because your competitors have also planned capacity additions coming up?
Yeah, as I said in my opening remarks, this does not change our overall view of the Indian market, and we continue to see a long-term opportunity in India.
Okay, and if I may ask one more question, that's the final one. Are you planning to start new routes, or is it the same routes we are cannibalizing, putting in more aircraft, which is leading into probably lower yields?
We actually have started new routes even in the last in the first quarter of this year, and I've given some examples. So we're constantly optimizing our network.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Rawal from Karma Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, good evening. I wanted to ask a question regarding the regional connectivity scheme that the ministry came out some time ago. Do you think this could give a meaningful boost to domestic air travel? And if yes, do you have any plans to tap this opportunity? Thank you.
So we are very supportive of the government's effort to connect smaller cities. And they've just issued this draft policy outlining the RCS. We had a meeting with the government as late as last Friday. But since it's in its stage of infancy, it's too early for me to comment on the details of it or our plans around it.
Sure. If I could have a follow-up on that. If you do decide to get into the RCS market, would it necessarily mean that you have to follow our dual fleet strategy in the sense you have to get smaller planes?
As I said, Alok, too early for us to comment on whether we are going to take advantage of this policy or not.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from UBS Securities. Please proceed.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question again. Clearly, I understand that shorter term, your guidance remains unchanged in terms of capacity addition. But, at what point, what would make you rethink that sort of an addition? At what point do you think that, do you start to feel that the industry growth is not enough to continue to add capacity and you try to push out your medium-term plans? I know you may not want to do that in the short term. So pointers that you would look to?
No, not really. It's just, we're constantly looking at our capacity requirements as the market grows and as the country grows, overall situation. So no specific, trigger point.
Okay, because after we've seen the overall industry growth in the domestic market also, we've seen the full benefit, I guess, of the stimulation from the lower fare prices, and the growth is now seems to be plateauing. So, unless you think that the growth will sort of continue to accelerate,
Actually, the growth is very healthy. At 20-21%, the growth is extremely healthy.
Okay, sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashutosh Somani from JM Financial. Please proceed.
Sir, this is regarding the interest cost. So, this
current quarter interest cost, I think you have given the reasons why it is on the higher side. But, you know, if I look at the last quarter, same period last year, that is first quarter FY16, or the fourth quarter of FY16, both of these interest costs have been revised upwards. I think this is doubled from the past stated numbers. So, first quarter FY16, the number was 328 million reported earlier. It has been restated to 72 crores or 720 million. So it's, and the fourth quarter FY16 is actually more than doubled from 269 million to 723 million. So is there an impact of Ind AS here? And if that is the case, what is the reason?
Yeah. So absolutely, there is an impact of Ind AS. I'm going to let Vineet Mittal jump in.
Yeah. So under Ind AS, we need to discount our long-term liabilities. And the way it works is, you know, once you discount your long-term liabilities, you need to unwind to bring it to the original cost. And when you unwind, the part of that cost goes as a financial cost.
Okay, so sir, in that case, is it fair to assume that this quarterly run rate of interest cost will sustain in the quarters going forward, adjusted for that 44 crore that was a one-off, the number should sustain on a quarterly basis?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
And we have, again, as I said, a reconciliation in our notes about about the changes. Obviously, with Ind AS, interest expense goes up, but there's offsetting impacts in the P&L, and it's in the reconciliation.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Garg from BNP Paribas. Please proceed.
So one quick question on the cash flows. So as of 31st March 2016, you had a total cash balance of 60.5 billion. And out of that, 6.5 billion was dividend, which was not paid, right?
That's correct.
So if we exclude that, it is roughly, say, 54 billion of cash, and then this quarter, 30th June, you had again 62 billion of cash.
That's correct.
So there is an increase of 8 billion there, and also you have reduced the debt as well by 4.5 billion. So that's a 12.5 billion of cash flow for this year, this quarter.
So it's Rohit, let me jump in. I think the 6.5 billion of dividends still hasn't been paid out yet. As you know, it's subject to the approval of shareholders in the annual general meeting. So our cash balance that we reported even at June 30th includes the six and a half billion. So it's about a 2 billion increase from the prior quarter.
Sorry. I didn't get that. Can you please repeat?
The cash balance for this quarter, for the June 30th quarter, also includes the 6.5 billion of unpaid dividends, or the amount allocated towards the dividends that are still subject to approval of our shareholders. So that 6.5 of cash that is allocated to dividends was both in the books as of the March 31st as well as June 30th.
Understood. So, this quarter, if I look at the cash flows, it should be about 7 billion. And out of that, 1.5 is the increase in cash and 4.5 is debt repaid. So it's about 6 billion. What would approximately be the remaining 1 billion? Where would it go? Because working capital, you said you don't have anything.
So part of it, because we had a profitable quarter, so part of it would be due to cash profit we have during the quarter.
No, I'm saying out of the cash profit, 6 billion is explained by increase in cash and reduction in debt. What about the remaining 1 billion?
I don't think they're getting the arithmetic.
So this quarter you had a cash profit of 7 billion rupees?
Say that again, please.
This quarter you had a cash profit with PAT plus depreciation of 7 billion rupees?
That's the profit before tax you're referring to. That's the profit before tax of 7.9.
No, I'm referring to 5.9 of net profit and depreciation of 1.1.
Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah, 7 billion. And the cash increase is roughly 1.5 billion rupees on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
So I think probably a good idea for us to give you this reconciliation offline.
Okay, no worries. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vineet Malu from Birla Sun Life. Please proceed.
Hi. I just wanted some more color on the competitive scenario. Would you have an assessment of what kind of fleet growth we are likely to see in India? I mean, some sort of intelligence based on what leasing arrangements, order book, etc. If you could just comment on that.
No, I can't talk to what the other competitors will add or not add. We can just talk about our own.
Okay, so what I'm trying to understand is, although you've mentioned that, you know, based on long-term outlook for the demand in India, you would continue to add to your fleet size. But I'm just trying to understand that, you know, if your competitors also doing same, but that, you know, would you reassess or what would make you reassess your plans, etc.? I mean, I'm sure you wouldn't just keep on adding, you know, heedless of your competitors, right?
Again, as I said, you know, it just depends on what the competition finally does and how much capacity they finally add. You know, for us, we're constantly looking at ways to deploy our capacity profitably.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mustafa Kedwala from Cube Investments. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. You had said last time that there are two new engine options. One is from Pratt & Whitney and the other is from CFM VTEX. Is that correct?
CFM VTEX, yes.
Yeah, so since Pratt & Whitney has these problems, are these other engine types also having similar issues or they are performing much better?
So, you know, the first LeapX airplane has just got delivered a couple of weeks back and I don't think it's flown, but... you know, we'll obviously look at it and then we'll take a call. We're still away from ordering new engines.
Okay, just a follow-up to that. I think 150 is the total new engine options from Pratt & Whitney that we have. So in case Pratt & Whitney cannot stabilize their engines going forward, do we have the option to migrate the rest of the 125 odd engines to CFM if in case they are performing better? This is of course a hypothetical question, but
I'm not going to comment to that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ankur Goel for closing comments. Over to you.
Well, thank you all for joining us on this call. To reiterate, a recording of this call will be made available on our website shortly, followed by a written transcript.
And if I may make just one closing, comment that, you know, again, some of the early press statements comment that we saw after our earnings press release is that the airline announced that it is slowing down the induction of A320neo aircraft. I want to just reemphasize that we have not taken any such decision. Our hope is that Pratt & Whitney is able to deliver the modified engines, and in which case we will take the additional 19 A320neos by March 31st, 2017.
That's it from our side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Indigo Airlines, that concludes today's conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.